The largest federal law enforcement agency needs more agents to investigate its own. The Integrity Advisory Panel at Customs and Border Protection is calling for nearly 350 new internal affairs investigators to root out what it calls systemic corruption. The group's report also urges officials to revise some policies and recommends specific restrictions on the use of firearms. Gil Kerlikowske is the Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, joins me now with his reaction to what the advisory panel is recommending. Mr. Commissioner, great to have you back.
Good, thank you.
And so what was your reaction to this report?
Well, first, the Integrity Advisory Panel came along with the fact that Secretary Johnson had authorized the authority for Customs and Border Protection to essentially police its own. That authority had been missing for about the last 10 years. And so when you don't have either the authority or certainly the resources, it causes significant problems. Along with that, the Secretary authorized through the Homeland Security Advisory Commission a subcommittee to take a look at the needs of Customs and Border Protection that would be commensurate with the new authority. That panel was chaired by Commissioner William Bratton from New York City and the former ATF Administrator Karen Tandy. That panel report with some very esteemed, very knowledgeable, very experienced people was tremendously helpful. Talked about the number of resources that would be needed under this new authority and the fact that, as we all know, law enforcement agencies can certainly be susceptible to things like corruption. And then the other part, of course, is how do you deal with, investigate, and be more transparent about a law enforcement agency's use of force?
All right. There's one set of recommendations in there that's a little bit arcane, but I think probably for our audience, we ought to explain them a little bit. And that is who is in charge of investigations, whether it's the Homeland Security Inspector General or the CBP has its own office to look at corruption, to which the IG should defer. How would all that work?
Well, certainly the Inspector General has the authority, the independent and the autonomous authority to investigate cases. Quite frankly, in this day and age, what you see across the country in law enforcement agencies is that they all have finite resources and there is collaboration. So whether it's an Inspector General's office in a city police department or in other agencies, how do you work together? How do you collaborate? Because I think both entities, the Inspector General and certainly myself as the Commissioner and certainly the Secretary, you want organizations that have done everything they can to root out problems and to let the public know exactly what they're doing. So that's going to be an important part as we go forward.
But it sounds like the panel believes that CBP should have the adequate internal resources to be able to investigate itself.
Well, certainly when Commissioner Bratton and his staff who were on this committee reviewed the size of the New York City Police Department, around 34,000 sworn officers and the size of their internal affairs and anti-corruption forces, and they compared it against the 40,000 armed personnel that CBP has, it was very clear that additional resources are going to be needed in the future. If we're going to have a very robust anti-corruption program.
And one of the recommendations pursuant to that was to have 550 full-time equivalent, I guess that's a job series, 1811 criminal investigators for a net increase of 350 of them. What do you think the chances of that happening in the current budget environment are?
Well, I think there are a couple things that are important to recognize. One is that certainly congressional staff has been very supportive, just as the secretary wants. Members of Congress and the staffs very much want an organization, Customs and Border Protection, that can deal with these problems and has the adequate resources. So we certainly received indications that they are supportive of this. Then the other part is with the 60,000 employees that they exist within Customs and Border Protection. Are there ways to change some people, temporarily transfer them, et cetera, to be able to bolster those forces as we move forward? So we're exploring all of those options, and we'll present them to the Secretary and move ahead. But right now, of course, we just received that authority. We've been going through all of the training and all of the changes to get the up to 200 personnel on board, ready, and they're out in the field.
Because if you recruit from the field and suddenly say to someone, we're going to train you to be an internal investigator, I imagine, you know, given the law enforcement culture, that would be a difficult place from which to return to line duty.
Well, actually, it's not, and I think I take from 40 years in local law enforcement and having headed up two big city police departments, people that are interested in promotion have quite often a law enforcement agency will ensure that they work or have worked within internal affairs because it gives you a very different perspective as you progress in rank to manager and supervisor and even at the executive level.
I guess it's time to bury the Serpico view of all of this, huh?
Well, I think the other part is that just as the members of Congress and the public and all of us want a very professional Customs and Border Protection, so too to the working men and women in that organization. They want an organization that they can be proud of. They want an organization that they know that the person working next to them, wearing the uniform and the badge, is as honest and hardworking and as diligent as they are.
We're speaking with Gil Kerlikowske, Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection, and there are some transparency recommendations coming from the advisory panel, including posting policies that you have on use of force, pursuit, internal affairs, domestic violence, and so forth on the Internet. Are they not there now, and what's your feeling about whether it would be useful to have them posted?
It is useful. I think that the public wants to know what are the guiding policies and the principles that dictate the use of force, and also the training. Our training has been changed quite dramatically for both the Border Patrol and our Customs and Border Protection officers at our academies in Georgia and New Mexico. We have a use of force center at our Advanced Training Center at Harper's Ferry to look at additional training and also different types of less lethal technology. We're using a variety of new video training screens to do as close to real-life scenarios for decision-making as possible. We have posted our use of force policy, and we'll certainly be examining, as a result of the committee's work, the excellent work by the committee, to post other policies.
And somewhere in the report, and you see it in some of the published accounts of the recommendations, the old issue of rock throwers versus people that shoot back at rock throwers, it's probably a good time to review the fact maybe that rock throwing is not the benign, childish action that it may sound like.
Well, that's exactly right. I think that when it's described as rock throwing, people don't realize these are 3 and 4 pound, very heavy pieces. And, you know, I've looked at the helmets that some of our Border Patrol agents wear when they're riding ATVs along the fence line, et cetera. And you know, if it wasn't for a very well padded helmet, the injuries could have been quite serious, or the agent could have even died. So we look at rock throwing just a little bit differently than I think that what people in suburban and urban areas think about.
And you know, just looking at the larger issue of law enforcement, with all these videos coming out and just seemingly endless accounts, I've looked at some of the videos myself. When you know, a video shows not something that it would, I mean, in courts of law, a lot comes out that is beyond what you see in a video. But what do officers who are not involved in these kinds of altercations that we're seeing all over the Internet, what do they think when an officer is found to have really been outside of the bounds of good policing? I mean, is this something that bothers the standing force?
Well, I talk to officers all the time, our agents and our Customs and Border Protection officers, and certainly spent a lot of time in my previous career talking to police officers. and uniformly across the board, whether it's at the federal level or the local level, when they see these actions and they see something that that is clearly illegal, unprofessional, et cetera, you see them very generally disturbed about it, because they bring shame. That action brings shame and dishonor to all of them. I think one thing that the public doesn't always recognize is that acts of misconduct and even illegal acts are often brought to the attention of the department because of another officer, because of another agent saying, you know, I've heard about this, this is what I've seen, and I don't want it in my organization.
And have Customs and Border Protection officers been the target of the video campaigns that we've seen affecting some of the municipal departments around the country?
Well, we just finished experimenting with a very large experiment from Blaine, Washington to the southwest border on a variety of cameras. People should recognize that certainly at our ports of entry, there are cameras aplenty in our ports of entry, whether it's at JFK or whether it's in Laredo, Texas. So we do use cameras quite a bit. But we also experimented with the body-worn cameras, and we're going to continue looking at them. We think there are other uses, certainly, and we can expand upon the use of cameras. But our agents work in an environment that is very unlike suburban and urban policing, and we did not find a camera that lasted more than 90 days before the grit and the sand of the desert caused it to malfunction. So we're going to have to look at this pretty carefully, and we're going to continue to do so.
All right. Gil Kuralkowski is Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection. As always, we appreciate your coming on with that update.
Good. Thank you very much.